Good evening, everyone. We're going to start our Committee of the Whole. I welcome everybody here this evening. My name is Dorothy Flanagan. I'm the alderman for the 4th Ward, and I'll be conducting the meeting this evening. So to start off, let the record show that everyone is present except for Alderman Marks. The next item is to consider the consent agenda, which there is only one item on the consent agenda, and that's the minutes. So can I have a motion, please?
So move.
Second.
Motion was initiated by Singer and seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Let the record show it's unanimous. The next item is to proclaim September 29th as a Green School Day in City of Geneva. We don't have anybody here from the school this evening, but I'd like to read the proclamation, and then if we can have a motion afterwards, that would be appreciative. The City of Geneva, Illinois proclamation recognizing Green Apple Day of Service. Whereas approximately 25% of Americans go to school or college every day as students, teachers, staff, faculty, and administrators, and whereas over 5,900 students attend schools here in Geneva, and whereas over 8,000 district-wide employees and countless volunteers and visitors enter Geneva schools on a daily basis, and whereas all schools everywhere should be healthy places to live, learn, work, and play. Whereas on September 29th, 2012, the Center for Green Schools at the U.S. Green Building Council will host the first annual Green Apple Day of Service. And whereas for one day, advocates from around the world, including students, teachers, parents, and elected officials, as well as International Green Building Councils, USGBC staff, chapters, member companies, and more will come together in support of healthy, sustainable schools by taking action in their communities. And whereas, as part of this event, Geneva Community School District 304 and the Geneva High School Environmental Club will join with members of the Illinois chapter of U.S. Green Building Council's Fox Valley branch in hosting an electronic recycling event for members of the community to recycle end-of-life electronics in any environmentally ethical, friendly, safe, and secure manner. In an environmentally ethical, safe, friendly, and secure manner. Whereas the City of Geneva, Illinois, hereby encourages its residents, businesses, and institutions to use Green Apple Day of Service to support local efforts to make our environment more healthy by reducing the impact of electronic waste. Therefore, let it be known that the City of Geneva, Illinois, recognizes September 29th, 2012, as the Green Apple Day of Service. We have a motion.
Madam Chairman, I move that the City Council so proclaim.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Hill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Records show that it's unanimous. And it sounds like a very good program. And I hope and encourage everyone to drop off their electronics on that day. Item number 5, and I'm looking for a motion to remove an item off the agenda. I'm looking to remove item G.
So move.
Second.
I'm going to read what we're removing off of the agenda. The recommended plan commission's denial of amendment to comprehensive plan for 14 Nebraska Street, zoning map amendments for 14 Nebraska Street, special use to allow continued use of property at 324 East State as funeral home and to expand funeral home parking lot onto property located at 14 Nebraska Street. So all those in favor say
Madam Chairman, could it be stated for the benefit of those on TV why we are removing this from the agenda?
I'm sorry, yes, the applicant has removed this item off the agenda, has requested us to remove it. So it was the applicant's direction.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record show that item has been removed off of our agenda. The next item is A, to recommend approval of request for Geneva Coalition for Youth for use of public right-of-way and City Hall property for Red Ribbon Week 2012. Do I have anybody?
So moved.
Whoops.
Second.
Okay, Alderman Kilburg and seconded by Alderman Dantino. Do I have anybody from the Red Ribbon Week? I do not.
Excuse me, Madam Chairman.
Go ahead. Yes.
It says the week of 2012. Are there any months and dates that were given at the, was it in October?
I'm trying to look for the.
It's October. It's in the, it's in your packet.
Yes. Oh, I thought we'd like to.
Saturday, October
20th, right.
I'd like to have that
to November
included.
3rd.
I would like to have that information included so our viewers can hear the date.
Okay, so we're asking for a motion to use the public right-of-way to hang red ribbons through Geneva from Saturday, October 20th,
yes,
from 9 to 11 a.m., with ribbons to be removed on Saturday, November 3rd, 2012.
Yes.
Is that
Thank
much
you,
better?
Madam Chairman.
You're welcome. Okay. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No one. Moving to item B, recommend approval of request for Salvation Army for donation solicitation on public right-of-way November 19th through December 24th for Red Kettle Campaign. Do I hear a motion for that?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. We do have David Byrne from the Salvation Army. If you would like to step up and say a few words, you're encouraged to do so. Just state your name and your address, I guess, right?
My name is David Byrne. I reside at 2445 Devonshire Court, Aurora, Illinois. 60502 if you have a desire to mail me. But I'm here today on behalf of the Tri-City Salvation Army. You know us. You know what we do. For 100 years, the sound of a ringing bell in the Christmas time has been a point of light for those in need. Here in the Tri-Cities, we serve with food probably 250 families a week. You know, that translates into probably 500, 750 people that we feed a week out of the facility there in St. Charles. Of course, there's senior services, after-school services for children, and so forth. You know the work that we do. Here tonight, pretty much as a matter of procedure, our annual bell ringing campaign, actually our soft start is November 16th. I believe there's a typo on the agenda there. It says November 19th and runs up through Christmas Eve. I wouldn't worry too much about the typo there in our procedures. We really kind of get started on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Really?
With what we're doing here.
That's
in
your
town.
That's the day you start?
Yep. And we're also looking forward to matching day opportunities. We had a very successful event with Colonial Ice Cream last year. Looking forward to that again this year. Perhaps similar corporate sponsorship this year. So as far as locations go, here in town, very much the same as what you've seen before during the Geneva Walk, similar locations downtown, Starbucks. We didn't have Ace Hardware for a couple of years, but now we've got Ace back.
I know there's one on
yep.
the west side,
yep.
Walgreens.
Yep. Some of the corporate locations, such as Walgreens or some of the grocery stores, that's information that we get from DHQ or the Corps down in Chicago. They feed the bigger fish, so to speak, down to us. So some of those aren't specifically named on the permit. We'll feed that information as we get it onto the city office, on the city staff. So any questions?
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
If the seconder agrees, I'm willing to change the motion to say November 16th, just so there's no problem if anybody...
You must have read our minds up here.
I agree.
Thank you.
So we'll change the motion so it reflects November 16th.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for coming today. I guess if no one has any questions, I thank you very much, and good luck. I'm sure you'll have another successful Christmas.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
If I may. David, I would just want to compliment your organization and the manner in which you've treated our seniors in this community. I'm very fortunate to be a senior living in this beautiful city, and I'm really treated quite well. And I attend the senior center at Wheeler Park, and I'll go there for a luncheon a few times a month. It's always very pleasurable, and you do quite work, and I really appreciate what you're doing. So thank you very much.
You are most welcome, and thank you very much also.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Byrne.
Thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Let the record show it's unanimous. Next item is to need a motion to regarding a grant plan. There's a plat of vacation of easement over southwest phase of Geneva Business Park.
A point of order?
Yes.
I believe you're on D, aren't we on
I'm
C?
On C.
You're on C?
Correct.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Make a motion to approve.
Okay, motion by Hill, seconded by Dantino. Do we have any questions, comments? Anybody in the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record show it's unanimous. Okay, and item D, we've moved on to item D. Need a motion for an easement on Kane County Forest Preserve property on Fabian Parkway and Route 31.
So moved. Second.
Alderman Maladra, seconded by Alderman Hill. Do we have any questions or comments? Anybody from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Record show unanimous. Item E, let me get there. The easement, where I'm looking for a motion for an easement grant related to Millard Refrigeration Services Phase 7 development project.
So moved. Approval.
Alderman Vogelsberg had made the motion. Alderman Hill seconded. I noticed that Ms. Pam Broviak is in the audience, so if you have any questions or comments, or if you need her to say anything, do anything. Anybody from the audience that has any questions? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record show it's unanimous. Item F is a certificate of completion for the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. Any questions, comments? Anybody in the whoops?
Alderman Sherrill.
Yes, Mr. Alderman Singer.
Alderman Flanagan.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman. As a segue to this issue, I was very fortunate to find my way over at the food bank here last week, and I would like to compliment Ms. Jean Gaines, the president of our chamber, because a great number of chamber members were there. Do you remember how many were there, Jean?
44.
Oh, wow. Members from the chamber were out there. And we had a marvelous, marvelous evening, and it was well spent, and I enjoyed myself immensely. Just worked continuously. We never even had a coffee break, for goodness sake. But it was well worthwhile. And if anyone in the audience or any of our constituency out there in the community can find their way to expend some time at that organization, they'll find it extremely, extremely worthwhile. And I compliment you, Gene. I compliment the members of our chamber for engaging in that product and having done quite well, from what I understand, getting some feedback from those people. Thank you for allowing me to exert
that. Thank you, Alderman Singer. But the city has, I know for a fact that staff, we put together, actually Mary, I think, put that together. Last year, was it?
Last November.
January, February of the early part of this year. And we also had an opportunity to do that, and it was really rewarding. So it is it's a very good experience.
Would you like for me to coordinate again?
Yes. That would be great. I don't hear any objection to that, do we? Okay. So we have a motion. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Let the record show it's unanimous. Item number G, we've taken off the agenda, so we're moving to item H, which is, I need a motion to, well, I don't know, maybe, do you want to make a presentation first, Mr. Unch, before we ask for a motion? Because I'm not quite sure what the motion will be, right?
No, I have no need for a presentation unless there are questions.
Okay. Is there any questions on H? Other than that, well, I'd ask for a motion. I thought it was item I, I'm sorry. To recommend approval of Plan Commission recommendation for a sign variance at 200 South 3rd Street, which is the pass basket, to allow for directional and freestanding signage. Do I hear a motion?
So a question.
So moved.
Just a minute. Let's get the motion.
Oh, yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Alderman Kilburg, and who seconded?
I'll second it.
Alderman Singer. The chair recognizes Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Dick, does this include signs for retail businesses a little bit to the west of 3rd Street at that intersection?
Yes.
As well as, okay.
Yes, it includes the other businesses that are part of that building.
Talked about that in one situation.
Yes.
So that'll be good.
Yeah, it's Joe Bella's and Floral Wonders and one or two others.
Yeah, so this sign variance will make the make the signage more effective, I think, from what we hope, anyway.
Staff worked with the property owner and with the businesses in developing a concept that the signage that's out there right now doesn't provide the opportunity for the business logo and the look of these other businesses being incorporated into the signage.
Yeah.
And so this signage package is doing that on a multi-tenant directional sign, and then there's the relief items involve an increase in square footage, excuse me, of 10 square feet, and then the inclusion of a second freestanding sign beyond the directional sign so that the pass basket can have its own individual sign referencing its business.
Great. Sounds like a good decision. Thank you.
So as I understand it, then the freestanding signs will go away?
What you'll end up with are one freestanding sign for Pass Basket on 3rd Street. There'll be another freestanding sign on the building south of the Pass Basket building that has since been connected some years back. And then right at the corner, there will be a downtown directional sign with smaller placards with arrows reflecting where you've got to go to the other businesses that are on the street.
And the A-frames will be alleviated?
At this point, the property owners and the businesses that have been using A-frame signs, they've indicated that they will remove the A-frame signs.
Good idea. May the record show that Alderman Marks entered our meeting, or however you want to state that. Any questions from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record show it's unanimous. Okay, the next item is to recommend city-initiated amendments to the zoning ordinance to define term donation box and consider regulation and or prohibition of donation boxes in all zoning districts. So thank you, Mr. Runch, for presenting this to us.
You're welcome. Good evening. And
Madam Chairman, may I interject for one moment?
Sure.
Mr. Runch, I know you and I have discussed and others have discussed. I know some of the parties that are most interested in this topic have discussed. I think for purposes of discussion, and granted some might accuse this of purely semantics, but I think we should refer to these boxes as collection boxes.
Okay.
So, because there is no donation per se. You're not receiving a tax receipt. You're not receiving a letter of thanks or anything else. It's a area to collect items and goods that these organizations then use to benefit other people, other groups, other organizations. So
that's fine. Okay. I think the terminology can be what we choose is most appropriate if we proceed with an amendment.
I don't know if we'll be able to change our course here by saying donation or collection boxes so we can interchangeably use that word tonight, I guess.
I just want to go on record because I know there's been some tumult.
Sure.
Tumult being the operative word.
Collection collection bins or donation boxes.
Excellent.
Whatever we're calling it tonight, but it'll be called something else. Yeah, we'll be called something else, collection boxes later.
At its meeting on April 23rd, the Committee of the Whole did not make a specific recommendation on whether donation boxes should be permitted or prohibited. We were asking that evening for direction from the council to proceed with a hearing before the Plan Commission on this topic. Therefore, the staff presented recommended zoning ordinance text amendments to the Plan Commission on June 14th at a public hearing to either define and prohibit donation boxes or define and permit donation boxes with regulations. So the Plan Commission conducted a public hearing on the 14th of June and then did some fact-finding on the 28th. Based on the discussion held during that public hearing on the 14th, the Plan Commission unanimously agreed that donation boxes, if not properly located and maintained, can create nuisances and that there is a need for regulation. Nuisances identified included the reduction of available parking spaces in commercial areas, the deterioration of landscape materials surrounding the boxes, the accumulation of items and waste outside of the boxes. The Plan Commission discussed the city's efforts to locate dumpsters and recycling containers in commercial areas behind the buildings, to the rear of the buildings, that is, and screen them from public view. Allowing donation boxes to be placed in parking lots would not be consistent with that effort. Finally, the Plan Commission acknowledged that donation boxes are a convenient way for residents to make donations and recycle goods, but noted that there are other convenient alternatives available to the public. For the reasons described above, the Plan Commission expressed interest in prohibiting donation boxes or collection bins in all zoning districts, except for boxes placed as an accessory use. To qualify as an accessory use, and this is an operative term in the zoning ordinance that is defined, the donation box must be owned, maintained, and operated by the owner of the principal use and serve the principal use. So in other words, third-party arrangements with outside providers for boxes would not be allowed under the Plan Commission's recommendation. Those boxes or bins could only be allowed if the property owner owned and maintained the box. So it's pretty restrictive provision on the part of the commission there. The Plan Commission also indicated that donation boxes allowed as accessory uses should comply with permit requirements and regulations that staff had recommended during the hearings. Specifically, there was consensus that prohibiting donation boxes in parking lots and requiring them to be placed against the principal structure or alongside of a principal structure would eliminate many of the associated nuisances and hazards associated with their placement. The commission also suggested that the fee, the annual fee, be increased from $100 to $250 to more accurately reflect the cost that the city would incur in issuing permits, conducting routine inspections, and in enforcing any established regulations. So looking at the Plan Commission recommendation as it was formed when they met and did their fact-finding, there's two basic components to it. The first component is a definition for the term, donation box or collection bin. A freestanding accessory structure, container, receptacle, or similar device that is used for soliciting and collecting donations of clothing, books, or other salvageable personal property. This term excludes any unattended donation box or collection bin within an enclosed building. So that's the first part of it. The second part is a series of regulations that staff had developed and that the commission reviewed. And these are requirements that would be put in place if the city decided to allow donation boxes, and amend its code, it would do so under these regulations. So first, donation boxes shall only be permitted as an accessory use to an established principal use on the property. So in other words, if you're a grocery store and you have property in the city where you have your store located and you want to create that function on your property, that is to put a collection bin on your property, that store may do so. That store owns the bin, operates the bin, maintains the bin. It's their bin. That's part of this proposal. Secondly, there's a series of 12 different requirements that tie directly to allowing these bins to be located on property. There's a permit required. There are application requirements for donation box or collection bin permits. The fee amended to $250 as recommended by the commission. The length of the permit is 1 year, so they're issued each year. Permitted zoning districts. Donation boxes are permitted in all commercial and industrial districts. They also may be permitted in residential zoning districts, provided they're located on property used for not located on property used for residential purposes. In other words, we've got churches and various institutions that are located in our residential districts. That's the very nature of the way our zoning is constructed. They're located in residential districts, so that affords an opportunity for churches to locate these bins on church property. The number of donation boxes, one donation box would be permitted per principal use. So you have, so say you have one use on one lot, that use is allowed one collection box. If you have a shopping center and you have five different uses in that shopping center, by this regulation, each use within that shopping center could have a collection box or collection bin. Location, and this was the significant point that was discussed at the Plan Commission, I think one of the more significant ones. Donation boxes shall be located on paved or concrete surfaces and must be placed abutting or next to the principal structure, shall not obstruct vehicular or pedestrian access or sight lines, and shall maintain no less than 5 feet of unobstructed space for pedestrian maneuverability. Donation boxes shall not be located in parking lots. Size, maximum height of 6.5 feet. Display requirements, got to be a maintenance and pickup schedule on the side of the box, and whether or not the actual box or bin is nonprofit or profit-based business. There are maintenance requirements, and there's consequences if you don't secure a permit in the process of locating a box on property. There's also a violations and penalty section that references, as we do with all our violations, either the local code adjudication process or circuit court proceedings. So that's the quick overview of where we stand. And I understand there are some gentlemen here from Use Again, and I'm available for questions.
We need a motion to accept the zoning ordinance to define term collection box bin, whatever we want to call it, or donation box, and consider the regulations as presented by DeGunch, right? Director Runch.
Second.
The motion was made by Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Maladra. Now I can accept questions. Any questions from the dais? Anybody from here?
Yes. I'd be interested in hearing, since we have representatives from Us Again, I would ask for them to have an opportunity to speak.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to do next, yeah. So does anybody in the audience or whoever wants to speak regarding this issue? Step to the podium, please.
May I throw on clarifying query, if I may,
okay.
Madam Chairman.
Go ahead.
And this is for Mr. Unch and others who are watching at home and perhaps have an interest in this topic. Dick, to make certain that I summarize what you've said, and as you well know, I need to dumb things down so I can understand it. I own a building, and I choose to engage in a relationship with whomever. I am permitted to have a collection box on my property abutting my building based on these recommendations.
The Plan Commission's recommendation would, as they have recommended,
only the accessory use.
Only as an accessory use. So if there's an outside party that you, as you're a business owner,
right, so
zoning it, lot, and you want to establish a relationship with an outside party to create a spot for the bin, under the Plan Commission's recommendation, that would not be allowed. The Commission effectively was saying, with its recommendation, it's their desire to prohibit collection bins.
And they
except in instances where the property owner directly owns and operates and maintains the bin.
And the language we use in our code as accessory use, it has to be complementary to the use of the business that requests
related
it.
Related to.
So if I'm, you know, Kevin's Closet of Resale Shop, I can't have a collection box out there for beer cans.
Correct.
It has to be relative and complementary to the business I run. Okay. To allow them, therefore, we would have to, as a committee, strike that accessory use clause.
That is correct.
Okay. Great. Excuse me, sir. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Mayor and Alderman, my name is Matthias Wallander. I live on 0N558 Marks Place here in Geneva. I immigrated here to this country some 20 years ago from a place where Swedish days is every day. I've been living in Geneva since 2005 with my wife, Janice, who is here, along with some of our employees. Janice is the founder and president of our company, Use Again. And Use Again is a textile collection and recycling company. We have about 10,000 drop-off locations in 17 states, and we're based here in Illinois. We have a triple bottom line, or a 3P mission, as we like to call it. We work for people, for planet, and for profit. And we do this through our unattended closed collection bins that we operate in municipalities like Geneva. Many of us has experienced an extraordinary summer this year, and 2012 so far is the hottest year on record. Personally, I'm concerned about this, and as a company, we have as part of our mission to mitigate the effects of global warming. All of us practice some kind of environmental stewardship, whether we replace our light bulbs with energy-efficient CFLs, we drive a hybrid car like my wife does, or one thing that I believe all of us do is recycle. And that makes sense because this is one of the most effective and easy methods to reduce climate-changing greenhouse gases and preserve resources. When we talk about recycling, usually we talk about cans, bottles, paper. And recently, a law was passed here in Illinois which makes it illegal to put e-waste in our trash. So now we're also recycling 17 different electronics devices. Textiles is kind of the forgotten child of recycling. Last year, a study by the Illinois EPA identified textiles as one of the 10 most prevalent commodities in our waste. It now makes up between 5 and 10% of the waste in Illinois communities. And if you look at the global picture or the national picture, this means that some 13 million tons of textiles head to landfills every year. In our community, based on Illinois averages, that's about 1.5 million pounds of textiles going to landfills every year. Now, the facts about textiles is that only 15% are being reused or recycled currently. 85% go to landfills. So when Usagen puts out a collection bin to collect textiles, we are not competing with any other organization that collects textiles. We're competing with the waste can. Simply put, every ton that is collected is one more ton that's not going to landfill. Our industry's standalone bin works 24/7. It can't be matched for convenience. Its ability to be accommodated on almost any site. From our collections, about 50% is resold domestically, about 50% is resold on international markets. 75 to 85% of the textiles we collect get reworn as clothing. The rest is recycled or reused as wiping rags or insulation materials or other materials. One of our local customers is Savers. They have a store in St. Charles. But we supply many different thrift store chains. As a company, we advocate and support reasonable regulation of collection bins that address the concerns of the community with service and the look of the sites. In the communities that look to enact bans, we advocate regulation because it works. The main concern regarding unattended collection bins is the quality of the service that the providers provide. At Usagen, we have a code of conduct that sets very high standards for service. Our collection bins are well maintained and serviced regularly to eliminate overflows. Our drivers follow schedules and predetermined routes. We maintain a 24-hour response guarantee with our 800 number, which is always answered by a live operator. Most importantly, we have written permission from every store, business, or property owner where we place a collection bin. Usagen is uniquely positioned to launch a partnership with the city to show how unattended collection bins can be effectively operated while meeting community concerns. The proposal we are advocating, which you've all received, allows for the creation of a license to pre-screen and authorize a limited number of bin operators and bins. The license process allows for a detailed review of the operator and their operations, and in our case, it adds a key environmental component. We are proposing the creation of a funding mechanism derived from our operations in Geneva to plant trees to replace the ones lost to the emerald ash borer infestation. This program solves a problem while adding no cost to the city. The city of Geneva has in its green handbook goals and visions pertaining to the environment as part of its 2017 strategic plan. We commend the city for these efforts and want to be a part of its success in the future. We have existing partnerships with other units of local government in Illinois, but this proposal would be unique to the city of Geneva. Our hope is this would become a model for other communities as the emerald ash borer dilemma is affecting our entire region. I would like to end with an example of what we are capable of accomplishing. A decade of working with the Algonquin Township Highway Department has yielded the following environmental benefits. 4 million pounds of textiles diverted from landfills, 5.6 billion gallons of water saved, 23,000 cubic yards of landfill saved, and 28 million pounds of CO2 emissions eliminated. We thank you for your service to your city. I and my staff welcome any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Molander. Does anybody from the dais have any questions? Yes, Alderman Kilburn.
I'll yield to Alderman Brown.
I'll yield to you, Mr. Gilbert.
Whomever.
I had a few questions as it relates to the collection bins. What's the current incentive for a business owner to place a bin? Is there a monetary benefit to the business to accept a bin, or are these a voluntary act because they believe in what you're doing?
We have examples of both, but as a company, we share over $1 million a year in revenue to local businesses, schools, and also through our corporate giving program. So over $1 million a year go back to the communities where we operate.
Okay. Ideally, like, for instance, a city the size of Geneva, how many collection bins do you feel would be appropriate to cover the community? How many do you have placed currently in Geneva?
We currently have three or four, I believe. Four okay. bins. And there are other operators. I feel a community the size of Geneva would need 10 to 15 bins. The driving force for recycling, like many activities, is convenience. And if you have a recycling bin on your daily route, that increases the likelihood that you'll recycle.
And just a couple more questions. Who would be your competitors for textiles then? Are there any other agencies, or is there anyone that's competing for the same type of recyclable material that you are?
There are probably 200 different companies that operate collection bins like we do. In the city of Geneva, I'm aware of Helping Hands. There are many operators. We are the second largest operator in the U.S.
Okay. And my last question would be, have you lost within the last year or two the opportunity to place collection bins due to ordinances similar to what we're proposing here?
Yes, we have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Kilburg. Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I can certainly agree with your numbers. Having just gone through my summer clothes and getting on my winter clothes, I know that you recycle a lot more clothes than you think you do. Clearly, the problem here is the suggested that it's an accessory use that really would reduce the number potential places in Geneva to a number close to zero. You mentioned that it's possible to actually enter into contractual agreements with the store owner whose space you're using. It would seem to me that we could replace, instead of accessory use, we could replace a requirement that there be a contractual arrangement between your firm and the owner of the property, whereby they are both jointly and separately responsible for any fines. I noticed that in the violations penalties, there is no actual fine listed. I would suggest that an alternative arrangement to accessory use would be first to establish a fine, and second to require that any business who wanted to donate their property, well, they own the property, show proof that they have a contractual agreement with them that makes you both and separately responsible for any fines that should occur. It would seem to me that most businesses, when they're going to have to put it next to the wall of their business, are going to be a lot more careful about looking after it than ones that sit at the far end of the parking lot out of view of the business owner, who may be a lessee and can hardly see the far end of his parking lot. So I might suggest, I would even be willing to offer an amendment, but first I'd like to see if anybody else here would like to discuss the possibilities that I've suggested. I don't even know whether it's possible. Maybe Mr. Unsh knows whether what I've just said makes no sense at all. But it sounds like you actually do have contractual arrangements with some of your locations.
We do. And
is that
your suggestion
more common or less common?
It's 100%. We have 100% contractual agreements with locations.
Do they include contractual responsibility for problems?
We take all the responsibility. We spell out
but
all the things.
But the city, of course,
take.
Would want both to be both and separately responsible, so we don't have to fine you. We can get our money directly.
Right. But
I'll rest and see if anyone else would like to pursue this direction I'm thinking of.
Thank you, Alderman Brown. Alderman Maladra?
Yeah, I like Alderman Brown's idea. What I wrote down, not quite as eloquently, was the same thing. The issue is being able to hold the local person responsible. So, I mean, I appreciate that you guys have 24-hour call line and that you guys respond quickly and all that other stuff. But this ordinance wouldn't apply just to you. It would apply to any provider. And we need a way of holding the local person responsible for any nuisance caused by the box. And so when you say separate, how did you word it?
Well, I am not, you know.
I know we're not lawyers.
Mr. Radovich would accuse me of practicing law without a license.
We do.
But there must be a way of somehow so that both parties to a contract are responsible, I presume.
Right.
I believe in Mr. Unch's staff memorandum, page 2, the first paragraph, second half of that paragraph, addresses the theme that Mr. Brown and Mr. What's your name again? Maladra are trying to achieve. Is that a fair assessment, Dick? I would have one caution, however, that of the separate yet equal responsibility, I personally would caution anyone from enforcing that because I could see that being a slippery slope that if, for example, I'm sitting outside at a restaurant on downtown or Randall Road and I litter, mm-hmm. I throw away my trash, I'm responsible. The restaurant should not be. I think the person causing the violation should be fined.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying, okay. But I also am thinking of this box sitting next to, say, a strip mall with a store on the end, where it's not exactly an accessory use. It's a grocery store who would like to cooperate with you by putting a recycling bin on the end wall next to their store. They're going to look after it, and if they don't, we're going to come after them and you.
With fines that we have.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not both and separately, but both. We fine both.
You can certainly revoke the permit that allows them to have that.
That is already in the fines and petitions. But I would want to invoke also. Let me suggest that there be a fine which applies to both.
Right.
Both people in the contract.
Yeah, I would just suggest that. we don't have too many attorneys in the room right now to wordsmith this, or not enough or something. And I'm sure that we can come up with appropriate language either tied to the permit issuance process or some other mechanism. So I wouldn't be concerned about that if you wanted to.
What about
that.
The question about fine? Did that come up during the discussions?
Yes. The fine issue is really one that goes back to our overall zoning ordinance mechanism for fines, and they're really a process of either the local adjudication process or the circuit court process. As a rule, we don't fine per violation. We focus on the illegal activity or the non-compliant activity. We issue a violation notice, and they're forced to either appear before the adjudication officer or before circuit court.
But there is eventually a fine backing that up in most cases.
And in the end, that's court determined.
Yeah, and that's what I would assume was applicable here. So what I'm asking is whether the Plan Commission, when they raised the fee from 100 to 250, whether they didn't consider the alternative, which would be to leave the fee at, say, 150, but then have a penalty of a $100 violation. If it was for each member of the contractual, then you would get 200. If there was a case where the city had to move in and the adjudication doesn't work and there's been 3 complaints, and we take them to court and say, look, you guys.
The methodology that was used there was to up the permit fee because we've got the ability with the language that's built into the requirements to revoke the permit if there are repeated violations. So there was a little bit of a different approach taken there.
There appears to me that somehow that this question of the accessory use has really, in a sense, reduced the number of possibilities to almost zero. Was that the intent of somebody?
Well, I'll just, you know, the Plan Commission really was operating, I believe, and others can chime in that were at the hearing, but I believe that they viewed this matter in a very restrictive light, and their sort of out of the gun, their whole thinking was an outright prohibition. But as they discussed it, you know, I think they came to the conclusion that if there was an entity, and I believe in our COW conversation back over the summer, you mentioned churches and this whole idea of an outright prohibition perhaps being too aggressive in the instance of a church that might want to put a bin out to collect items for the needy. And so they effectively said, well, you know, that principle makes sense if, in fact, there is an entity that is interested in owning and operating and maintaining and servicing a bin on their property, why not allow that? So they clearly were not thinking along the lines of the business model that use again.
I can understand that, but I also have a vision of something like a store or possibly a pharmacy wanting to attract customers by, quote, appearing to be green, by having a well-tended bin outside their business. Now, this would hardly be an accessory use, but they might find it an attractive thing to do. And I'm not sure we want to completely negate that possibility with the words accessory use.
Right.
And yet we want to put in some very good protections for the city. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, look, I'm dead set against this. Forget the wording. We're against it. You know, I'm sort of a Clinton triangulation kind of person to try to see if there is a place we can go to that satisfies the people who don't like what they see out there now, and I consider myself one of them, and yet considers the possibility for something that might be constructive in the future.
If I might offer here, just for food for thought, on page 3 of the Committee of the Whole memorandum, where it talks, the major heading there, Plan Commission recommendation, if you see that, under the second provision of the proposal dealing with donation boxes, there are two sentences there regarding the accessory use issue that could literally be deleted, and it pretty much takes care of your concern. Because then it just says donation boxes under the requirements there, donation boxes shall comply with following permit regulations. Period. And then A through L are mentioned. If you want them. Yeah, if you want them. Right.
The accessory use to me seems to be, you get into a lot of silly parsing of words. Most big, large department stores nowadays have one partial aisle with some inexpensive socks for ladies or something. And one could get into the argument is whether collecting used clothes is an accessory use to a large supermarket store.
I understand.
Thank you, Ms. Alderman Brown. Alderman Hill, you had a question or a comment?
Yes, I do. Maybe Dick Kuntz could answer this. Are these donation boxes, I've seen them in the store, the retail outlet parking lots south of the tracks, of the railroad tracks, and down there in those business areas. But are these donation boxes allowed in an area that we call the Commons, Geneva Commons? Are they allowed there at all?
Well, right now, we're really, our ordinance is silent on them anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really
silent.
Not allowed.
No.
They're not?
No.
Oh. They are. But are there any in the Commons?
No.
And why is that the case?
But that might be the owners that
the owner of the property,
you know, the property that took some action or something.
My name is Carlo Cavallero. I'm the in-house attorney for Use Again. Our address is the office in West Chicago. That is the most likely scenario. We've approached them. They won't take them. And in conversations with Mr. Unch's staff, the plan unit development or the scope of Geneva Commons is probably the business doesn't fit for that, the design of that lifestyle mall. So wouldn't be, we would just not feel appropriate either. You have to, part of being responsible operators, you got to use some judgment every so often.
So these bins attract people who, like Alderman Brown, has found that he has some clothes, some winter clothes that no longer fit. That happens to me also. So that if we can't, we might be willing to put them in this donation box? Is that a good use for the donation boxes?
Exactly.
It's a whole strange thing to me. I don't.
The best example I offer is, friends explain the same thing, is you divide up what you're going to give away to where you're going to give it to. Suits go to Suits for Success. You go different stuff to shelters, your church, if they're doing an event, you save stuff. But when you want to get rid of it now, you either go to someplace where where you can drop it off 24/7. So whether it's the bins close by, there's a bin in my neighborhood. One of our bins is at one of my elementary school, so that's where I tend to go. And otherwise, you take it to a place you choose to. You can even have it picked up at your front door. There's all those services to choose from, but it's all of the above.
When you go to service these bins, do you find things other than clothes and toys that are not broken and things that are books?
Yes, you name it. Whatever's there, we pick up. Every truck has a lift gate, so whatever's there, we remove. We service the area around our bins, so we take care of the entire area. Whatever contents is there, we remove it. Obviously, the clothes, that's our main business. Everything else is attempted to be recycled. We're working right now. We've got about a dozen Gaylords of used books that we're libraries don't seem to want, so we're trying to find an avenue to donate those right now.
Do people abuse this?
That's exactly who we're talking to.
Do people abuse your program and throw garbage in these bins?
No. I mean, the general public is pretty respectful. I mean, just as they are with the city streets or anything else. I mean, we're dealing with the common, you know, the public. I mean, so it's how you behave in your normal life is how you behave to our bin, I guess. You know, many times it could be by accident. It might be on purpose. I'm not going to say no, but for the most part, no. I mean, you can take a tour of the warehouse. It's relatively, people ask the question all the time. Or, you know, the clothes are generally laundered and folded when they're put in the bags to be donated, to be either recycled, donated, or otherwise. So when you're on your way, it's amazing the way it comes in.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you, Alderman Hill. Alderman Singer?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chairman. What I've heard at this point in time, I feel very comfortable with. However, are we going to obligate ourselves to just these people serving us, or would we have a request for proposal?
Mr. Unch can certainly clarify this, but as I understand it, it's open to any person or any organization who wants to put a collection bin.
That is correct. That is correct. The regulation that has been considered by the commission, with or without the reference to accessory uses, the various requirements that are identified, there are 12 of them. Those are open to all permit applicants that can submit the application, fill it out properly, and meet the requirements.
And it wouldn't necessarily have to be attached. Removing the accessory building would actually remove the restriction for that particular business to have, like, if it was a toy store, they wouldn't necessarily have to be just limited to having toys dropped off there.
Right. If you remove the reference to the requirement for it being an accessory use, it would open it up
to just about
significantly.
Anything.
Yes, correct.
Before I recognize Alderman Vogelsberg, may I recognize Alderman Dantino? He had his hand up before. And did you want to speak?
Yes. Dick, I guess the question would be for you. In their proposal, they're saying they would like a license fee for 2 to 3 years, contrary to what you're suggesting, $250 for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you would change? Or?
Well, from the staff's perspective, issuing a permit or a license for 1, 2, or 3 years is really not the issue. In my mind, because it's not like we're going to have 50 of these different companies running around setting up these things. At least I don't think we will. It won't be an overwhelming number. Where I think the real issue lies is in the enforcement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are taking photographs of bins, and I will tell you that this is an enforcement issue. Mm-hmm. And it is going to be, if we move in the direction of allowing these with 12 requirements or regulations tied to the permits, there is going to be staff resource involved in checking these places periodically, reacting to complaints, contacting bin operators, property owners, reminding them of the requirements, revoking permits if they're non-responsive. That's where the real work is, not in the issuing of the permits. So I'm not nervous about 2 or 3 years of permissibility. Year to year, I think, is fine, because that way we can keep tabs on what's going on. I'd much rather have contact with them once a year, frankly.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you. Sorry, Dick, but it is because I know when we first talked about this, I definitely was somebody who said no boxes, because there's so many convenient places to go where they'll even come to your car, et cetera. And I hate going shopping by Randall Square and parking, and they're terrible, that's what makes it hard, because obviously that is not your company. But just when we're talking about a policy discussion, certainly the Plan Commission entertained many of these thoughts too, right?
Yeah, there was quite a bit of discussion on this. Where I think the Plan Commission comes from, you know, they've been working with the city's current version of its zoning ordinance. It was adopted in 95. We introduced site plan review for all commercial projects. We have vastly upgraded landscape requirements for commercial developments. We have increased landscape setbacks. We have landscaping requirements within parking fields. We have landscaping requirements around buildings. We have architectural review of building elevations, exterior elevations of buildings, all in the interest of enhancing our commercial environment and the commercial developments that we receive. Every single project that we've approved under these new regulations, if there's outside trash dumpsters, they're within enclosures, they're either fenced or masonry. Generally, we work in landscaping around the enclosure. Mm-hmm. So it's very clear to staff that we've been working with the Plan Commission, the Council, over all these years to create an enhanced commercial environment. And then we have a concept, a business model that involves these collection bins being placed out in the middle of a parking field, which bears really no resemblance, no connection to the development objectives, to the land planning, the landscaping, the architectural design criteria, everything that we've been working to accomplish in our commercial environments. It seems to run counter to this concept of placing a bin that may have snow piled around it during the wintertime, that may have items that can't be fitted in the bins, stored outside around the bin, that may create actually an attractive situation for fly dumping, where people are dumping off stuff that bears no relation to what is being sought in the collection bin. So there's a variety of issues going on here. And as a city, we've been pushing for an enhanced commercial environment on all our commercial projects. So how does this fit in? In our staff thinking, it doesn't fit that these be just placed out in the middle of a parking field. If you've got a small device, it could be anywhere from a collection of pumpkins you're selling at Halloween out in front of the grocery store, or it could be the Blue Rhino container for the propane gas tanks. When you really see that stuff in these commercial areas, they're up against the building. It's there for convenience, but I also think that there's an element of eyes on the prize kind of thing, and management being kind of in charge of what's going on, being able to supervise it. So where I think the commission ended up on this, aside from that restrictive approach they took, is that whatever you do, require them to be next to the building where they're not really interfering with what we've been trying to accomplish all these years with our commercial development.
Well, that is a good explanation, because after all the years I've been in Planning Commission, I know it is almost a tedious attention to detail for the good of the whole community. So it's really the second big problem is, you said, code enforcement. So if we had more staff, it would be easier to maintain. I mean, anything could work, but we don't have the staff to keep it properly. We can't add any more stuff to the already busy job.
Well, I think this is something that's manageable, but it will definitely involve some work and some attention over the long haul. So there's a staff cost. There just will be.
Because it's worse than when somebody first brought this up, there were even bins who were dropped off without the permission of the property owner. So that's even more difficult for the staff to track down who, you know, just like some of the foreclosures.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the attention that USA, again, here has given to this. The idea that they have the cooperation of the property owner and they're under contract, that's key. We've had, just anecdotally here, we've had some businesses contacting us and saying, why is this bin in my parking lot? You know, so it's been, you know, there are some business practices out there that aren't that great.
So to clarify, with this ordinance, or with the set of guidelines and the proposed zoning ordinance text amendment, it would help to control exactly what you're talking about, and give not only the businesses the ability to say, hey, you know, this box is not supposed to be here. So in essence, this is a good thing that we're putting together.
Well, I think
if
there's support for the idea of placing these on individual business properties or non-residential, residentially zoned properties, yes. I think if we're going to allow them, then there ought to be a set of rules that they be held to follow.
Alderman Kilburg?
I just had a couple of things to add. Two things. First, maybe we want to cap out the numbers that we would permit. I could imagine that that's something that would be fairly easy to work into the ordinance, where we'd establish an arbitrary figure where we could maintain some level of control that way. If we're talking about 15 permits, I'd imagine that you'd maintain a list of those, and when a permit became available, if there was a waiting list, et cetera, you get back to an agency if they wanted to place one. The other would be, I think that the point as it relates to the commitment to place a bin, I think, can be a deterrent for someone that's sort of a hit or miss. And I'm thinking that if you're looking at a 2 or 3 year commitment with a higher fee, point of entry, I think that discourages, and it puts people on alert that, you know, I'm making a pretty sizable financial commitment here to place one, and I better maintain it, or I'm going to I run some risk of losing that commitment, that financial commitment. So I think both those things might be also something that we could give some consideration to.
Is that something that you need direction on? Director Unger, giving you these ideas, et cetera, is that sufficient, or?
I'd be interested in hearing if there's more comment on that. I was just going to make the comment that I think when we limit the number of permits that we would issue for these, I think we start moving in the direction of a license. And I would want to get into more of a discussion with council about our ability to do that, and picking and choosing who gets it and who doesn't. The zoning ordinance creates a set of rules. You meet the rules, and you're issued the permit. And so
And you can't run a lottery?
Well, I don't think the zoning regulations would be the way to do that. I think we'd have to go in another direction with the regulatory tool to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm just seeing this as a way to control, you know, I think we're open to being environmentally conscious, but I don't think we want one on every corner.
Right, right. Well, I think part of the question here is that what will be the pressure to create these placements for these bins, the demand for them? I'm not sure that we know right now. I suspect that these regulations, if the council chose to go this way, that there'd be less activity.
Because they'd end up having to pay a fee and going through the permitting
process. And not being able to put them out in the parking lot, that type of thing.
Alderman Hill?
So, Dick, under these regulations or suggestions from the Planning Commission, would it be possible for a downtown business to put up one of these bins adjacent to their property?
Nothing would preclude that.
Nothing would prevent that, right?
Correct.
Okay. Based on that and based on the fact that it's going to cost the City of Geneva some money that we don't have for enforcing the law that would be passed, and based also on the staff's initial recommendation to expressly prohibit the donation boxes, I make a motion that we prohibit donation boxes in the City of Geneva.
We already have a motion on the table, so.
You make an amendment so that it sounds.
You can't make the amendment because it's counterintuitive or counter something
or
whatever.
He can make amendment to strike the part that allows for the exception. That would be amendment which would be relevant.
Reinsert the accessory use thing.
That strikes the accessory use.
Oh, he's striking the
But he's not talking about striking the accessory use. He's talking about prohibiting it outright. So that's
they
a totally
prohibited
different.
Except for the accessory use.
I don't think that's what the intent
okay.
is.
That's not what he's right. saying.
That's stretching it. Yeah.
Prohibit
right.
them outright.
I just don't think it's going to work. So
I accept the chair's.
However it has to be worded, I don't think they ought to be allowed in the City of Geneva.
We certainly do respect your thoughts. I need to ask someone in the audience raise their hand, so if I may, can I recognize the...
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. I've been wanting to jump out of
my seat. Can you state
Sorry.
Your name?
Absolutely. I'm Renee Bauerman, and I am with Goodwill. And
can you give us the address of Goodwill? Or
absolutely.
It does, it's not totally necessary, but I guess I would
5300
like.
North 118th Court, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We also handle the region in the metropolitan Chicago area. We have 27 stores and donation centers in the area and growing. And we do think, you know, we offer another alternative for people to make their donations. We completely support the green and recycling. We like to say we were green before green was in. We've been collecting donations since the early 1900s. Just a couple of things. I did have the opportunity to be at the Planning Commission meeting, and I appreciate your comments because they did have a lot of this discussion. They were considering all of this, and I think a lot of careful thought went into their choice of only permitting the boxes as an accessory use. So I appreciate the fact that you kind of drew that out of the conversation because I hope that doesn't get lost, this the discussion of just striking that in my view is a departure from what the Plan Commission, a dramatic departure from what the Plan Commission had recommended. The other thing that I would say, I'd love to go into my big spiel about Goodwill, but I won't do that. But the other thing that I would say is that not all collection box operators are as responsible as Use Again, and we saw a really good presentation here tonight and heard a very good proposal. But there are a lot of box operators out there, and they're not all as responsible as what you've heard here tonight. One other thing that I just quick had written down, I have seen communities, if you were to prohibit them, you would be in good company. There are Batavia, Schaumburg, Oak Brook, there are a lot of communities that do prohibit the boxes outright. However, there are some that require a conditional use permit for the boxes. So if someone did want to place a box, it wouldn't be a license or a permit through staff, but it would go through the Plan Commission and require a public hearing so that the merits of that particular box are discussed, not just wherever people want to place boxes. So I just tossed that out there as well. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Bowman. Do you have any questions?
I had a question. So in essence, what side of the argument are you on?
Oh, thank you. That's a really good question. We do not use the boxes.
Okay.
So I would support the Plan Commission and staff recommendation.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Alderman Brown.
Thank you. So the chair was correct. The motion in front of us is to approve zoning ordinance text amendments that define donation box / collection bin and establish regulations that allow them only as an accessory.
And if that motion does not pass, then we can certainly entertain another one, correct?
Right. But I'm still having a little trouble with the accessory use because the more I think about it, it's not only...
Then you have to amend the motion.
Well, no, let me just state my... I was going to ask Mr. Unsh after I finished my statement, which is the more I think of accessory use, I not only do grocery stores have socks, but drug stores have support hose, and toy stores have kids' hats and kids' gloves, and most restaurants and bars and taverns in town sell T-shirts with their logo on it. All of a sudden, I'm not sure how would you, in your department, Mr. Unsh, decide what was in a legitimate accessory use?
The way I look at this, it's if the bin is in effect, as the commission recommendation says, owned and operated by that business, whether we're recycling shoes and socks and the store selling shoes and socks is not the question. If it's incidental and subordinate to the principal use, it's an allowed accessory use.
And so, owns and would a joint contract in your mind in your department constitute owned and operated by the owner? If they had a contract.
Well, I can tell you that the intent of the Plan Commission was owned and operated by the owner. That is no third party. It's the box is owned and operated and maintained and serviced by that property owner.
You mentioned the propane tanks. My guess is that the propane tanks and the thing they're sitting in are actually leased by the owner from a third party. We hold the owner responsible for the thing that holds the propane tanks, et cetera, although he may not be a direct owner. He may only be a contractor.
That may be the case. I haven't studied propane tanks.
Would you consider that to follow us under this?
But I would say that the intent of the Plan Commission was to restrict this to boxes owned and operated by that property owner. Mm-hmm. That was their intent.
I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know if there was a lawyer present, so it seems to me. So at the moment, that's part of the problem I'm having with this regulation, the motion that's on the floor at the moment. I'm not exactly sure how we define accessory use other than saying, well, Dick knows what the Plan Commission meant.
Well, we don't have a copy of the zoning ordinance here, but we could read you the definition of accessory use if that helps.
I think that's helpful. Can you please read that? Oh.
I don't have the exact
one,
but it's a use that's subordinate to and serves the purpose of the principal use.
Can you step up to the podium and say and explain that too for everyone?
An accessory use is subordinate to and serves the purpose of the principal use. So if the purpose of the principal use is to sell used clothing, then a bin collecting used clothing would serve that principal use.
In my example then, leasing a rack and cylinders of propane would be a perfectly reasonable accessory use to a hardware store.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So that really does limit it, though. I mean, making it accessory because, like, Best Buy and all the office supply, you already they already accept in the store recycling of all the cartridges, stuff like that. Target accepts recycling of all their stuff. So it seems like everyone's already recycling the stuff they deal with.
And Best Buy does, too.
Pardon me?
Best Buy does, too.
That's what I mean, yeah. But
I missed it.
So the only, I was thinking, so what would be up for this? For textiles like Plato's Closet, they could.
That would be an accessory use if they were collecting used clothing.
Marshalls.
Yeah, I mean, like a Best Buy, I mean, they do it with indoors.
That's
so,
what I'm saying, right. You can, right. Right. So, right.
We're not regulating those.
They sell it.
Mm-hmm. I do have, thanks to Ms. Ferrari here, I do have the description of accessory use, a use which is A, conducted or located on the same zoning lot as the principal building or use served, except as may be specifically provided elsewhere in this title, or B, incidental or subordinate to and serves a principal use established on the same zoning lot, C, subordinate in area, floor area, intensity, extent, and purpose to the principal building structure or use, and D, not to be established on any lot prior to the establishment of the principal building structure or use to which it is accessory, whatever that word is.
Sure, that clears it up.
So that made it any clearer to you?
Could you say that about three more times?
Yes.
I think Mr. DeGroot's description was quite adequate. So, do we have any more, Alderman Dentino?
Dick, did the Planning Commission see the proposal from? I don't know how you say this. Us again or whatever.
They did see the proposal that
they
was.
Did?
They did not see the proposal that you have.
Okay, they had seen something similar. Nothing
I don't believe
at all.
So.
Okay, so then that couldn't possibly be in their recommendation.
No.
Okay. Second question. We currently do not collect any fees for these collection boxes out there.
That is correct. They just exist out there.
So if we were collecting these fees, that would maybe offset some of the work done by the staff?
That was the intent of the commission's motion of raising the recommended fee. Staff recommended $100. The permit fee was raised to $250, and the commission's recommendation
is
to work on those costs.
They're suggesting $1,000 for 3 years almost here, so which is about $333 a year. So that would certainly offset the cost, but obviously not the time, if
correct.
There's a shortage of time. So I just want to make that point. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody in the audience, anyone else who would like to speak?
Hi. My name is Chris Graham, and some of you know me. I'm a lawyer in Geneva. I'm with the firm Jones, Lemon, and Graham. I think some of you know my partner, Clyde Jones. I've known Matthias and Janice, two of the owners of Use Again, since they got here in 2005 and have done work for their companies since that time. They are good, long-time Geneva residents, and they are... good Geneva citizens. They've supported the community chest in different ways over the years. I know some of you are on the board or have been on the board. And the boxes that they have served a need in this community. I can give you an example. They have a box over at the Citgo station, which is on Route 31. And my wife, from time to time, likes to get rid of old clothes. And this might be clothes that wouldn't otherwise go to something that she wouldn't want to donate to Goodwill. She donates other things to Goodwill. It doesn't meet the Goodwill standard, but meets the Use Again standard. So it'll go to the collection box over at the Citgo rather than in the garbage bin in front of our house and rather than to the landfill. And I think this is something that if you didn't have a company like Use Again around, I don't think you'd really have in Geneva. If you restricted the ordinance, as has been suggested, to having boxes that are... only owned by a property owner, I don't think you're going to see too many of those collection boxes around Geneva. So if you go with the ordinance that's been proposed, I don't think people like my wife are going to have the option that they currently have. I think you're going to wind up with more used clothing and the like going into the garbage can and going into the landfill, which is something I think we'd all like to avoid. And I think you'll be not serving the environment, not serving the community. So I would ask that you consider the suggested modifications to the ordinance that Mr. Brown had alluded to, and allow Use Again to continue business, doing business in this community and serving this community as it has been for a number of years. And if any of you have any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Chris?
Yeah.
I was searching for some kind of a legal term where in a contractual arrangement, both parties are wholly responsible for. What would be the correct legal words to describe such a thing?
If you wanted joint and several.
Joint and several was the...
I'm sure Chuck Radovich can do a good job drafting the words.
I know it's a standard term of law. I just didn't know what it was.
Joint and several.
So a contractual arrangement where they're joint and severally responsible for the operation and any fines appertaining.
Sure. Yeah. I understand that there may be other businesses that would apply for these ordinances, and I can't speak to all of them. But Use Again has a track record of doing good in communities. Two of the owners live right here in Geneva. They've got to worry about what their neighbors think about them. These aren't people from miles away who are running a business. These are your neighbors running a business.
So I think that what maybe not what you're getting at, but what I'm taking from what you're saying is, again, because we're not writing an ordinance that says Use Again can operate, but is there a way to craft our permit process or something along those lines to ensure that we get as reputable a business, to ensure the permits are issued only to businesses of similar reputation?
Sounds like the proposed ordinance goes pretty far in assuring that reputable operators will only be placing bins in the city, and it also from the proposal of the city and also from the proposal of Use Again, as far as the concerns about the cost to the city, and believe me, as a taxpayer, I'm concerned about the cost to the city. It sounds to me like the fees can solve that problem, which is definitely a legitimate issue. And it's a concern to me since I pay taxes in this city. But I think passing on the cost of having to deal with the permits is something that Use Again proposed, and I think that addresses Alderman Hill's concern, which is certainly a legitimate concern, and it addressed my concern as a taxpayer in this city.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Alderman Cummings, please.
I would love to see this ordinance encourage legitimate use of boxes in Geneva. What Use Again hasn't mentioned, or maybe they didn't mention enough, this is a pretty big business. These guys have saved 490 million items from landfills. They are a worldwide business?
National
business located here in the area, and the two owners are right here. If we're going to encourage businesses to live here, stay here, operate here, I think this is something peripherally that we ought to consider to make this possible. If we make the ordinance too restrictive, it sounds like the goal here, people would like to see legitimate, clean boxes being set up in controlled situations in Geneva. If we make it too restrictive, we'll end up with nothing. We'll also give this sort of taint of not being business friendly in Geneva, which I think is the last thing we want to do.
Thank you, Alderman Cummings. Mr. Bruno? step up?
Mike Bruno, 522 Fulton Street. I get the sense that a lot of this seems to revolve around the particular petitioner, but remember we're, as you pointed out, this is an ordinance for everyone. May or may not be of this similar repute. In the ordinances drafted, Director Unsch, is there anything that would have historic preservation review in terms of placing them downtown?
Interesting question. Honestly, I hadn't thought about that one. This is not a permanent facility. I think we'd have to give that some thought, to be honest with you, as to how we might handle that. Because I could see instances where a bin could present some issues on a historic property. But I think that, again, if they were located as has been recommended with the criteria that have been called out, I think location next to or alongside of the building and not in the midst of a parking area, a landscaped area, I think it goes a long way towards perhaps being acceptable within the historic district. But we probably want to give some thought to that question.
Would a special use permit, as was suggested by the representative of Goodwill, invoke that type of review?
Yes, it definitely could. Staff has been really hesitant to get into the special use or conditional use process for this type of facility. There's always a danger with special use regulation of going too far with the regulations. You want to make sure that you've got some understanding of what the potential pitfalls and negative impacts are of a particular use and how the special use standards would apply to that use. And I'm not certain that there's a good connection between our special use standards and regulation of an individual box on a property. I'm quite confident that we can develop a set of requirements tied to permit issuance that can properly regulate and control these uses. The historic preservation aspect, I want to think about that a little bit, but I think at its core, those requirements that are called out in the Plan Commission recommendation, I think, do a good job of giving us what we need from a staff perspective to properly monitor and see to it that these are properly placed on property and properly maintained. And if there is an interest on the part of the council to accept all of this,
for just once, even if the ancillary use,
in other words, if you take the accessory use, just take any reference to accessory use out of the Plan Commission recommendation, if that's where the council's headed, I believe we're still in very good shape.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any more questions, comments? Any? Alderman Marks?
I believe we have to keep these out of the parking lots. I don't, you know, the accessory use, I think, is maybe a too cumbersome. But I think putting up alongside the building, that's going to have these well taken care of. I mean, if you do look out at some of the areas along Randall Road, there are boxes there. There are Salvation Army trucks there every Saturday. You know, I think we've got to get these out of the parking lots. And I think accessory use is probably a little too harsh and would limit it too much. I'd like to see that striking out. But I would go forward with it not being in the parking lot and leaving it be up against the building, even if the building owner does not own the box.
Do we have any other comments or questions? Anybody from the audience? Now, I want to find out what the wish is of the committee, because do you want to continue on with the motion the way it is, or would you like for Mr. Unsch and Mr. DeGroote to go back and
do something that would be a little bit more.
Point of order, Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Could we have a reading of the motion as it is now on the floor for approval or disapproval, please?
Okay, the way it's stated here on in our packet or in our agenda is recommend city-initiated amendments to the zoning ordinance to define term, I'm going to use collection box, and consider regulation and or prohibition of, well, and or prohibition of donation boxes, but I think I didn't make and or prohibit. Well, I don't know, because you've got two conflicting statements here, because it says and or prohibition of donation boxes in all zoning districts. So you've got actually two.
So which is the motioner suggested?
I think I stopped at and or prohibition of donation boxes in all zoning districts.
The motion on the table probably should be withdrawn because it's not specific. The and or makes it basically two motions.
I think that's a very good direction.
We might try to formulate a better
motion.
Does
the seconder agree?
I
thought it was Alderman Vogelsberg, wasn't it? Or no, it was Alderman Maladra. Sorry.
Based on that motion, could we table the motion until the next committee of the whole?
Would that be adequate time, or would you like to table it to
2 days,
further
2 weeks
out, or the next committee of the whole meeting?
2 weeks.
October 8th. Do I have a second?
Second.
Just for a point
Oops.
Of clarification,
okay.
If we, well, actually, we can't discuss it.
No.
On the table, can I? Sorry.
There's a motion by Alderman Hill, a seconded by Alderman Maladra, to table it to a date certain, which is October 8th, as I understand it. So there's no discussion, so all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Excuse me, there are three nays. Can we take a roll call, please? That way we won't have a problem trying to figure it out.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Donald Cummings?
Nay.
Ralph D'Antino?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilburg?
This is a motion to table?
Correct.
Nay.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
John Vogelsberg?
Nay.
It's 6-4.
Okay, so the table stands. So we'll table it till October 4th. 8th. I'm assuming Director Runch will revisit all of the points that were brought up tonight and try to incorporate it into something that's palatable for all of us to understand. Yes, Alderman.
This is more of a point of order question, but now that we had the motion and the vote, can I comment on the motion?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I voted not to table it is, first of all, they have so many of their team here, which means they're going to have to bring them out and pay for them again. I feel like that is, we always put that on the petitioners. I don't think that's fair, even though they're not the petitioners. And it seems like we kind of know where we're going. I thought we could maybe just hammer it out tonight, and then we still have next week to talk about it.
Unfortunately, it's been tabled, so.
Well, somebody who was on the winning side could.
Well, that's being reviewed right now by Mrs. McKittrick, whether or not a motion to reconsider on the table matter.
No. Trust me. I know Robert's rules like you can't believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You guys, wait. Let's have a bet.
Madam Chairman, may I make another comment? If we do go postpone another discussion until the 8th, Mr. Owens, can you make an estimate of the cost of what this might be towards the city of Geneva, so we have a guesstimate as what it might be. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
There's kind of a dead silence here. So can I move on to, like, new business, or do we have to wait for the...
Okay.
Can we come back to the issue? I'll do item 5, but... ask that no one leaves if they want to really find out if this can be revisited again. Is there any new business from the committee?
Okay, well, I guess we're in dead silence now.
What are we trying to figure out?
Whether we can...
Well, and maybe nobody wants... I mean, one side wants to, yeah.
On that basis, Madam Chairman...
I'm sorry, yes.
Madam Chair, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Whoa. I don't know what to do with this one.
Take a roll call and see what happens.
Yep, okay, roll call. It was Alderman Vogels... No, Alderman Singer.
Chuck Brown?
This is a voice vote to adjourn?
To adjourn.
A roll call to adjourn,
only because of the simple fact that we were still waiting for a decision whether to...
So you want me to go slow?
It's the prerogative of the chair to call for a roll and or a voice, if neither of which matters determining the
result.
Donald Cummings?
Nay.
Ralph D'Antino?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Nay.
Craig Maladra?
Nay.
Richard Marks?
Nay.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Nay.
Is that a tie?
No, it's the nays have it.
Okay, so we're going to remain.
I don't know if I can ask this, but is anyone on the winning side willing to bring the motion forward so we could finish discussing it tonight? I think there's four of us on the losing side.
Does it require legal review? We don't have the...
Well, I know, but if nobody's willing to do it, then we don't have to go through all the...
Well, I'd rather not spend an hour discussing it, only find out
then
that
find
we
out
have to
the
have city attorney review.
Right.
So
that's the reason for the table
front.
Was to iron out some of the... I'm sorry.
I do have a suggestion, and I understand that we've got folks in attendance that this issue is close to them. Perhaps it does make sense for staff to take in this discussion this evening and put together a new proposal.
That's what I thought would be the cleanest, but...
It is a text amendment, and a public hearing's been held on the text amendment.
The text amendment didn't include the words and or, did it? I mean, this is the problem I have. It's a trivial problem, but the motion on the floor had an and or in it, which doesn't make it a very useful motion.
As I recall, that it did.
It did. The direction we received from the committee to hold back in April was to hold a public hearing to consider either the prohibition of donation boxes or collection bins and or the regulation of them. So we kind of had a twofold recommendation to the Plant Commission. And
But again, the motion offered tonight should have chosen one of the two options, outright prohibition or
an
exception.
That wasn't my understanding of the motion.
That,
the understanding I had of the motion was we were moving to consider staff recommendation, which was the 12 conditions plus the accessory use.
That was actually a Plan Commission recommendation.
Okay, so I don't know what the hell happened.
But the motion still
contains the
word and
the point that
I
was going to make is that it may make sense for
the
staff
table to stay.
Staff to digest this conversation and get some new information in front of you at the next COW meeting. Because I would be concerned about cobbling together something tonight after this long discussion. I think maybe having a proposal.
So another motion
in place that you can read off of would make more sense.
Motion
so
to
thank
adjourn.
You. Thank you, Mr. Unger. Okay. Alderman D'Antino, then Alderman Hill.
I had a question first.
I think we could accomplish essentially what Don was asking for there if we did see if there was support of the council as it relates to the verbiage as on the joint and several responsible clause. And that would then also give some direction to Mr. Unch that his time would be well spent, that we have support for it. And I don't think we've really reached a point this evening where we have full clarification on that. But from my perspective, I would be open to the revisions that we've discussed on that specific clause primarily, and I could support an ordinance with that type of verbiage.
So can we have a straw poll kind of just the direction that we gave Mr. Runch? Is that the direction that the majority of the council feel, or how many? I don't know how to do this, if I should raise hands or.
I had one comment.
Okay.
My comment would be the joint and several, if we look at that, and then also the accessory use. And those two things are, to me, the sticky points of this, and would love more direction.
So does anybody have any objections to the direction that was given to Mr. Runch? Okay, well, then I entertain the motion. There was a motion on the floor from Alderman Dantino to adjourn and seconded by, I thought, Alderman Cummings. Sorry. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Good night.
I did find that you can.
Sorry.
Revisit the poll.